One. Good evening. Welcome to another exciting class, an ever-increasing word training center. Yes, this class is catching the wave of revival. We're going to go ahead on and get started because we have a lot of territory to cover this evening. I am once again so thankful for Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. I always tell y'all I minister from the wind that's blowing behind me, and he's that wind. I believe in apostolic government. The purpose of a son is to honor his father. Watch this at all times. So I thank God that I have the ability to function from the grace that's upon his life. But yet I'm able to maintain my own uniqueness because this is how he trained us. All right, so tonight we're in chapter number four, catching the next wave of revival. Chapter number four, let's begin. If the move of the Holy Spirit comes in waves, then we must move into proper position. There are seven important aspects a surfer considers before he catches the wave to surf. Number one, a surfer must swim into the deep sea to catch the wave. In other words, you don't get the wave standing on the seashore. And the wave is not in shallow water. You got to go out to the deep sea. A tuna fish. You don't catch that fishing off the seashore. You got to go into the deep. Go ahead. We cannot catch the waves while trying to swim in shallow water. And we cannot catch the revival waves by living safely. We must press deeper into the sea, or we must press deeper into the deep, because deep ministers to deep. Number two, a surfer must know where the waves are going to break. Prophetic insight of where the Holy Spirit is going to give us our breakthrough is important. We need to be sensitive in these last days. We must know the ways and the workings of the Holy Spirit. Prophetic insight and revelation helps us to chart our course. Experiences with the Holy Spirit will help us in knowing where the Spirit will break forth next. And we must stay with the Holy Spirit's cycle and watch the Holy Spirit's movements. Number three, a surfer must position himself to catch the big wave. Many can discern that the Holy Spirit is moving, but they do very little to position themselves properly. The spiritual continuance principle states that we need to know and submit if we're going to be in position to catch the new move. We need to be fully alert when we're in position. We should keep ourselves in timing with the waves. We need to know if we need to increase or to decrease the speed of our surfing to approach the coming wave. The believer needs to be fully equipped and ready to ride the coming waves. We need to be spiritually alert and keep in timing with the momentum of the Spirit. Staying in time and in step with the Holy Spirit will ensure our spiritual success. Number four, a surfer must swim towards the direction of the coming wave. You see the move coming, so swim towards it, move towards it. To swim towards the oncoming wave is to swim against the tide. It is physically strenuous to swim against the tide. It takes a lot of spiritual energy to move towards the oncoming wave. And we must keep focused on the bigger wave. The distraction of the undercurrent can pose a danger to our timing in catching the coming wave. And we must strive towards the oncoming waves without settling under pressure to the smaller waves. Number five, a surfer must know the difference between a small wave and the big one that he's trying to catch. We must resist the temptation of catching the smaller wave. Patience is required to ride the biggest and the best wave. We must make sure we are giving ourselves to the project that God has called us to do. God allows us to ride upon the smaller waves of the Spirit so that we will be skilled and trained enough to catch the big wave. Number six, a surfer must not hesitate to move with the new wave that breaks before him. Many waves have passed by those who may have been hesitant. We must obey and implement that which is important to us so that we can move with the wave. A religious spirit rooted in human idealism is a major source of hesitancy. The Lord does not do anything without man and man's cooperation with him, with his word. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility is always coupled or comes together in the manifestation of signs, wonders, and miracles. More of Christ will manifest after a continual yielding of God's people to the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. We may earnestly desire to see the new wave of the Spirit, but we might be offended by the package in which that wave arrives. For any movement to abide long on the earth, it must honor its spiritual forefathers and mothers. This is the first commandment with the promise of long life. Number seven, a surfer's goal is to stay as long as possible on the new wave and ride on its crest. While riding the crest of the new wave, the surfer is looking, scouting around for the next incoming wave and plans to repeat the cycle. So, I love it. Never get comfortable. Get out of the comfort zone. The comfort zone is where the church have been for too many years. And God is saying it's time for us to go into maturity. It's time for us to leave the elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ and to go on to maturity, to perfection, not laying again foundations that's been laid in our lives over and over and over again. Well, once the foundation is laid, it's time for the house to go up. Go ahead. Those who are part of the previous move tend to retreat as the next wave is advancing. Retreating creates a clash that hinders the next incoming wave. Be careful of those who do not want to go farther. See, I came out, I've been around a little bit, children, in the school of ministry. I've been walking in this for over 40 years. I've seen whole denominations camp out on thinking they have it. And you visit them 30 years later, they still in the same spot. And they waiting on the Lord. Some, I don't care who you're talking about, Church of God in Christ, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, even Word of Faith people. Because sometimes if you think you got it, you don't want to go any farther. But I like Paul's testimony in Galatians 1:11. He said, I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel that I preach is not after man. For neither did I learn it from a man, neither was I taught it, but it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ means God wants to reveal himself to us, in us, and through us. And this is a lifelong process. You never get comfortable because there are higher heights, there are deeper depths, there are greater lengths, wider widths, and greater lengths in Christ. That's what God is after, you know, for us to keep on growing in grace and in the knowledge of him. Go ahead. Opposition will come from the previous waves that are retreating. When the church advances rather than retreats, there will be a spiritual advance that cannot be stopped. And also you need to understand that in the church spiritually advancing, there's going to be some that fall off because they just don't want to go. That's why the message of money cometh runs so many off. They rather have silver and gold. They rather have Jesus than silver and gold. When God said you can have both. Because God said the silver is mine, the gold is mine, and the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. You read the Bible. Go ahead. Chapter number 11, we're moving. You know, we started off with stages 6 and 7, you know, of the 7 revivals that's in the New Testament. You know, for New Testament believers, we started off with times of reformation. Then we started off, we've progressed to times of the revivalists. We're going to move to chapter number 11, which is the first stage of revival, which talks about times of revelation. The first stage of the end time revival is the times of revelation that the church is presently ushered into. The lack of revelation knowledge can have a disastrous end for the church. The church can be destroyed. The gifts can be abused, and the people can be rejected from receiving their inheritance. You know what Hosea 4:6 says? My people, this is God speaking, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I know you quote that scripture, but you need to go further. Because if just the lack of knowledge was the problem, we could camp out there. But God say, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because what? They reject knowledge. And so the rejection of revelation knowledge actually begins in the pulpit. The priests reject knowledge. The priests who are supposed to be leading and guiding the people, they reject God's revelation. So what am I saying? If God's apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teaching teachers, if they are not growing, then they are not able to equip the church to be perfected or matured. They cannot equip the church to do the work of the ministry. They cannot edify or build up the church until the church comes into the unity of the faith and to the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. The church will not be able to grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what those five graces were given in Ephesians 4, 8 through, you know, you can read pretty much through the end of the chapter, as well as move over into 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, which talks about the many members of the one body and how that God set in the many membered body, first of all, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, gifts of healing, working of miracles, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. These gifts were given by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and set in the church by the operation of God the Father so that the church can be equipped, now watch this, to occupy till he come, not go to heaven. Too many believers have a heaven theology and a heaven mindset. Jesus said, I came from heaven to bring heaven to earth so that the will of God, which is already established in heaven, would be established and performed and carried out in the earth realm. So that's heaven to earth government. Not that we're training you to go to heaven, but we're training you to bring heaven to the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. This is the prayer that the master taught those apostles to pray. Go ahead. Ignorance affects not only one generation, but also the next generation. As the Holy Spirit is moving into revival times, the church is experiencing a breakthrough and revelation flow. That's why in Matthew chapter 16, you read it. I don't have time to go to all these passages of scripture. When Jesus asked those apostles who he was training, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're Elias or Elijah. Some say you're Isaiah or Isaiah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're one of those prophets. But Jesus said, that's fine, what they say. But who do you say, those of you I'm training, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter got it right this time. Peter said, I know, I got it. I know. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now watch what Jesus say. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. There's revelation. But my Father, which is in heaven. And he said, I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of what? Revelation, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, watch what Jesus said. I will build my church. Upon what? The rock. What is the rock? Revelation of Christ's kingdom. That's what the rock is. We must have a revelation of Christ. What is the revelation that God wants us to have concerning Christ? That he is the Christ, and that the word Christ means Christ and his anointed ones. So that's why the scriptures, Paul said in Galatians 4:19, my brethren, of whom I travail in prayer until Christ be formed a birth in you, because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When Christ is revealed to you, then you find yourself in St. John 14 and 6. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Don't ask me to show you the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. What we should be doing in this generation is saying Christ is not here or there or over there. No, he's in me. And if you really want to see him, take a look. Take a look. Because Christ is in me. And I'm here to do the very works of the Christ. The works that he did shall I do also. Because when Jesus ascended to the Father, he sent back the Spirit of the Christ to be in us, to train us, to reveal the Christ to us, because we can only become what's revealed to us. We're only partakers of revelation knowledge. Never forget that. Never forget that. Go ahead. The Holy Spirit is taking us out of our ignorance and teaching us what we ought to know and to do and to say. Spirit education has come to the church. The church is learning the ways and the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. Her faith, the church's faith is abounding, and her confidence in God is soaring. New understanding to old truths is giving new meaning to our Christian walk and experiences. The benefits of walking in revelation. Number one, higher spiritual perception and wisdom. The perception that comes through revelation knowledge is higher than that of human wisdom and mind education. Man and his limited understanding and perception can only see Jesus as one of the prophets. But spiritual revelation lifts us to see who he really is. The same question of who Jesus really is receives two different sets of answers. One is according to sense knowledge, and the other one is by revelation knowledge. The church is receiving spiritual insight and wisdom of how to govern her own affairs and to influence the society around her. She's able to draw off of God's wisdom to address human needs of the spirit, soul, and the body. She's now able to answer the world with wisdom, perception, and insight of God the Almighty. The wisdom and the perception of Solomon attracted the attention of the world. Number two, inheritance and sonship. There are higher blessings of sonship called inheritance that can only be released unto us through revelation knowledge. The blessing of God is for both the righteous as well as the wicked. The blessing that pertains to sons is called inheritance. It is only by revelation knowledge that we can stake a claim or be partakers of on our God-appointed inheritance. Revelation always precedes possession. Number three, power over flesh. The life that moves in revelation flow is free from the power of the flesh. The devil has power over the flesh because he's permitted to feed upon the dust of the earth from which we were created. Any believer walking in the flow of revelation knowledge is walking in victory over the flesh. Walking in revelation, it's walking in total obedience to the Holy Spirit and to His Word. When we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill nor gratify the desires of the flesh. Those who walk in the flesh and in human wisdom, they do not have the ability to please God. Number four. The grace of sonship, the place of intimacy and love and in relationship with God is only afforded to sons. Revelation knowledge places us into the position of sonship and opens the door to intimacy. The Father himself opens this door unto his sons. The Son does nothing on his own initiative. He doesn't even speak on his own accord. It is this communion that opens up the heavens above for the flow of revelation knowledge to be given to sons. When we choose to capitalize on this privilege and walk to honor our relationship with the Father, then we will know the grace of intimacy with God. Our communion with our Father God establishes a functional relationship with the Father as his son. Number five, we develop a wholesome self-image. Revelation knowledge unfolds to us how God sees us. We can then see ourselves as God sees us. Now, I can't resist this. I got to tell you. See, y'all watched The Lion King and you missed the revelation. The Lion King was St. John 14. All over again. Lord, show us the Father. You remember, you had Simba. You had Simba. Yeah, Simba, father was Mufasa. Yeah, you know it. And then the monkey, Rafiki, he was the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he was the prophet. Are you listening? Simba lost his way. Well, Rafiki, the prophet, moved by the Spirit, went to find Simba. Because Rafiki said, no, Simba alive. I know it. Well, when Rafiki found Simba, I'm just giving you the short version. Say, Simba, go look in the water. And when Simba looked in the water, what did Simba see? The face of Mufasa, his father. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we should see our Father, because when we see him, we become him. Okay, that's a short version. Go ahead. We start to have sound judgment about who we really are, not thinking more highly of ourselves than what we ought to think, or too lowly of ourselves. A wholesome self-image provides the necessary stability and maturity to walk in this world. God is the God of progressive revelation, who reveals both his name and his nature to us at the appropriate times in our journey of life. The Holy Spirit, who reveals unto us God as the Father, will also reveal the revelation of sonship. What do I mean by that? That we are and we have the same standing with our Father as Jesus the Christ do. That's who we are. We are the sons and the daughters of our living God. Jesus came to make us heirs of God and joint heirs with him. That's who we are. He's not one place, we're another place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Where are we? In a seated position, ruling and reigning with him, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. Number six, a new strength of character. Peter was changed from a bruised reed to a stone. His true spiritual nature came forth to its full potential. He received new spiritual strength in character and in leadership. He's no longer a coward in leadership to lead the church into the fullness of Pentecost. He went from being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ to a chief apostle. Jacob was transformed into a new man after he had wrestled with God himself, who gave him a new name. The apostles, James and John, also had their names changed, signifying the type of ministry they were going to serve God with. Those who are changed by the flow of revelation became stable foundations for God to move in their generations. God can only build upon solid vessels that has become the foundation stone for the next move. Number seven, the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, which is built upon the foundation of revelation flow. There's no true church without revelation flow. Human tradition and man-made religion do not make church. In order to build effectively the end time church, needs to build it according to God's heavenly pattern, the divine pattern, or blueprints for earth's construction. Much of the so-called church today are only monuments of human traditions, strength, and ideologies. Number eight, God came to raise up a prevailing church in the earth, on the earth. The church is founded upon the revelation of God, and the redemption of man is going to rise to become an overcoming church. See, church, you got to understand this. The head of the church, the Bible in Ephesians chapter 1 saying, he is the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The church is the head of all principality and power and might and dominion. The church is. Now, the church is, in fact, the body of Christ. The head got out of the grave, but the church still in. In this day, we see the church connecting properly to the head to realize that the head is at a seated position. The head is ruling and reigning, and the feet are on the body. So we can't go nowhere until every enemy is made the footstool of the living Christ. Go ahead. The church that is connected to the Father in revelation flow has the keys of the kingdom of God to destroy the satanic kingdom. God gives the church his authority and power to patrol the heavens and to establish God's will upon the earth. You know what Ephesians 3:10 say? To whom God would make known to the church what is the manifold wisdom of God. Go ahead. The church does the spiritual policing of the heavens, keeping the spiritual climate conducive for spiritual breakthrough. The church ensures that the heavens are continuously open for the church to move in the supernatural purposes of God. And the church is given the position to rule and to reign both in the heavens and on the earth. And in the days of Acts, the apostles moved in revelation knowledge, and what they taught was called the apostles' doctrine. Well, we'll see you on next week. Read chapter number. Oh, that's right. Exams are next week. Okay. Study for your exams. Go over the quizzes, and we'll see you after. Enjoy.